The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you, carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So once upon a time, I was in Goodrich or something, and I was going to come up here and be the priest, you know, here. And Father Roy was here before me. Everyone remember Father Roy? You want to know what he warned me about, you guys, what he said about you? He said, "Steve, I got to tell you, these are the friendliest people you will ever meet in the Catholic Church anywhere." And so I'm like, okay. Yeah. And you lived up to it. And so isn't that a good thing to be said about you? The friendliest church you'll ever be in. And now I love my Holy Redeemer folks. I was there 13 years. But it's good to be among you too. Don't you love being Catholic?
Yes.
Everywhere you go, there's just beautiful people worshiping our Lord. So I was listening to some of the readings in Flushing at St. Robert's earlier today and today. Just one of the things out of the book of Hebrews, Jesus is a priest, and he's a high priest, and he's so much better than the Jewish priest or the Jewish high priest. Now, you got to understand, there was no such thing as a Jew before the Babylonian captivity, and before maybe 200 years before Christ. You know, there were Israelites, and there were other things. But the Jewish priests followed Aaron's priesthood. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good priesthood for the people. But they followed Aaron's priesthood. Jesus wasn't a Levite. He wasn't of that priesthood. He was born in the tribe of Judah. He was a king. That's where kings came from the tribe of Judah. And that's where David, line of being a king came from. And so how did Jesus become a priest? He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest when Abraham was alive. I mean, for Jesus, you got to go like 1,000 years to David. Then you got to go like 1,000 more years to, 500 at least to Moses, and then maybe 500 or 1,000 to is that like 2,000 years back there to Abraham? So this priest Melchizedek, Jesus is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And guess what? So are you. You are priests according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, some of you young people have heard this recently when you had your kids baptized. We baptized them into the name of Jesus, who is priest, prophet, and king. And so that makes everyone we baptize priests, prophets, and kings. We're to rule with Jesus, but today I want to talk about the priest side of it. Because the only priesthood that the New Testament talks about isn't the kind I have. We call this a ministerial priesthood. The New Testament priests are you, priests according to the order of Melchizedek, that priesthood of baptism that is of all believers. Now, Jesus, his wonderful, wonderful priesthood, and it was way better than the Aaronic priesthood of the Aaron or Levites, and in so many ways. For instance, the high priest, according to the other priesthood, the old priesthood, he couldn't even go to his mother's funeral, or he would be defiled because he couldn't be near death. Jesus stops a funeral procession and touches a dead person and raises him up. How much better is that? Right? The other priesthood couldn't come near lepers because they're unclean. They would defile them. Jesus touches lepers and heals them. How much better is that priesthood? And I'm taking all this out of a book. It's a beautiful book. If you ever want to do a study, it's a pretty high-level study. It's from a cardinal named Benoit, and he's Belgian. And he gave a retreat. Are you ready for this? He gave a retreat to Pope Benedict. How would you like to give a retreat to the Pope? Well, to make it even worse, all the cardinals were there too. So the Pope and the cardinals, he gives this retreat. And it's all talks out of Hebrews that we just read out of today. And it's just little retreat-sized chapters. Retreat talk-sized chapters. And so anyways, he's the one teaching all this. And actually, Pope Benedict made a book out of it and wrote a little chapter of his own in it. And it was so good. But anyways, when the first thing the Aaron priests did when they became priests was to kill thousands of people. Moses came down from the mountain, and the people had built a golden calf and were misbehaving. And so what did they do? They killed everybody. That's awful. What did Jesus do? He gave life to everybody, and he was killed himself. He offered himself to be killed and for his blood to be spilled so that we all could have life. How much better is that priesthood? And so Benoit goes on and on about how much better the priesthood of Jesus is, because it's a heavenly priesthood, not just an earthly priesthood. And it's forever. His covenant lasts forever. So anyways, you're priests in that order. And it should show in your life. The world should be able to see the difference in you. And according to Roy Horning, they do. Yeah. Best, friendliest church you're going to see in the diocese. So, yeah, so that was, none of that's my homily, so don't be watching your watches. I'll start my homily in a minute. You know what it means when a preacher looks at his watch? Absolutely nothing. Don't get your hopes up. All right, so let me say some good things about the Eucharist and some stories to help inspire you. One of the stories is about a doctor who was rich and successful and had a lot of influence. And whenever he started getting too full of himself, he had a coat hanging in his office. And he would take that coat, which was old and smelly, and it had a patch on the sleeve, and it had frayed pockets and all that sort of thing. I'm pulling this up because I noticed when I talked down, my mic picked me up, so I thought I should pick this up, and then you'll hear me. So he had this old coat, and he would put it on, and he would wear it reverently because it would remind him who he really was. Because as an intern, he was in the city, in a poor part of the city, and in the midwinter, the coldest day, it was like middle of the night, a little kid's pounding on his door, yelling out frantically for the doctor to come to their apartment. And so the guy is in such a hurry, the kid's so frantic, that he runs out without his coat in the middle of winter through the blustery winds and the snow and the freezing cold. And he goes up these dingy stairs in the apartment building into this small apartment. And there's the parents just begging and pleading with them frantically to heal their son who was dying. And he did his very best. And no matter how much he tried, the boy died. And it was at that point when the boy died that the intern realized how cold he was. And he began to shiver. And the man, the father, took his old coat that was worn many years down on the street corner in the city at a vegetable stand. And he put it over the doctor and he said, "Here, you need this more than I do." And the doctor took the coat, and he didn't dare not take the coat, even though he knew it was the only coat the man had for all those years. But he also knew the man was giving him what to him was a sacrament of love. And there's no way he could refuse it. And so whenever he needed to remember who he was, he would wear that coat, and it would remind him of who he was. And that's what St. Thomas Aquinas calls the body and blood of Christ, a sacrament of love. That's what it is. And we, just like that man lost his son, God gives up his son in this sacrament of love to show just how much he loved you. That perfect love that God has for you is shown right there in the cross, willing to even give up his life for you. Not kill a bunch of people, but give up his life for a bunch of people. Isn't that right? And for all people, for us Gentiles too. You know, we're the Gentiles, right? The high priests of the old order couldn't communicate with Gentiles. Thank God Jesus could, because we're them. We're the ones he was able to be a high priest to the whole world. Now, so the body of Christ, he receives that from Mary. You said the rosary. He receives his body from her. That's the body we're talking about. That's the body in heaven. That heavenly body of Jesus that Mary gave him is the closest thing to God. It sits at the right hand of God. A human body is a thing right next to God. God can't get tired of you. God is you. God's a human, just like you. He's not going to get tired of us. Because he loved us so much, he became us so that we could become all that God is. Except he'll always be the creator. We'll always be the created. But he became all that we are so we could become all that he is. So that him taking that body is huge. But you also are the body of Christ. You, as you gather together, you're that sacrament of love. You're the body of Christ. And so we have to have that idea of who we are so we'll know how to live and how to act. And so it says in the Eucharist, when we say the Eucharist, it says, just as we all eat of one bread, one cup, one bread, may we all become one body by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are the sacrament in the world. You are what the world sees. And that priesthood you have, that's for out in the world. That's not for here. I'll do this one on the altar, but when you go out, how are you a priest in the world? You offer up thanksgiving for everything and everyone. You bless it by giving thanks for it. You are the life of the world. So you go out there and you give thanks, and I'll say to you, "The Lord be with you," and you say, "And with your spirit." And I'll say, "Lift up your hearts." And you say, "We lift them up to the Lord." That's being a priest. You're offering your hearts to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. What do you say? It is right and just. It is right and just. Always and everywhere. Wherever you go, whatever time of the day it is, you are giving thanks. That's how you are a priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Offering your world, your families, your life, your heart, everything up to God. All those people you love and all those people you don't love. All those people you go into the confession and say, "Father, I have to admit, I hate those people." Yeah, they're politicians or something. Yeah, we offer everything for the whole world. That's how you're a priest. You offer things. We're not priests in the old way. were priests in Jesus' way, right? And then there's the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ creates a new covenant, and it's, that covenant lasts forever. That covenant is a heavenly covenant, and we're part of that. Where this brand new covenant makes us one with God. How cool is that? Where all our sins are forgiven, whenever we eat the body and blood of Christ, we know that that covenant forgives us. And then we got the body, blood, soul. The soul is like the heart, the mind. And so we want to have the mind of Christ. Well, the mind of Christ is the Holy Spirit for sure, but the mind of Christ, he also tells us what he wants us to do, gives us the new commandment. Love one another. Not like you love your neighbor. That's old. Love one another the way I love you. And give up my life for you. Isn't that right? Have the same mind in you that was in Christ, who being in the form of God, emptied himself and became in the form of us. And he became a servant to all. And he said to us, do the same thing. If I, being your master, serve, how much more should you serve one another? And my commandment is to love one another. Have the mind of Christ in you. Become the lowest of all. And Jesus said, and then God will make you the greatest. He'll raise you up and do all these wonderful things for you. So the mind, body, blood, soul, divinity. We have become partakers of God's divine nature. We eat the divinity of Christ. We take it in ourselves. And he took our humanity so we could take his divinity. We share. We're one. We're reconciled. And we reconcile our world to God. This body of Christ thing is huge. We even had a sequence because it was so huge before we had the gospel. This is who we are. This defines us. This changes us. Let me tell you a transition or a someone being transformed story. When I was a kid, I always liked being a kid in my day. I thought we grew up in the best days ever. Anyone feel that way about your childhood? Any old people like me? We didn't wear helmets when we rode a bike. Right? We drank out of a hose. All that stuff. But my sister played the piano, and she was really good. And I remember one of the songs she played was, what's that song? Dream the Impossible Dream. Remember that one? To dream the impossible dream. You know where that comes from? The story of Don Quixote. Remember Don Quixote? Crazy Don Quixote? He's nuts. He's delusional. He thinks he's a knight. There's no more knights in the world. And he thinks he's a knight, and he's going to go save damsels in distress. And the most beautiful, pure, holy damsel he's saving is Aldonza. Now, Aldonza, this pure, beautiful, good woman, is not a good, pure, beautiful woman. She's a woman with a bad reputation. That's all I'm going to say. You fill in the fuller description. All right? And everybody knows it. And they laugh at him because he thinks she's like this beautiful, sweet thing. So he names her Dulcinea. Dulcinea means sweet one. Right? And her name's Aldonza. And so at the end, at the very end of it all, after everyone's laughing at him and laughing at her and laughing whenever he calls her Dulcinea, he dies. And there where he's dead, somebody yells out to Aldonza and they go, Aldonza! And she turns and she says, as she stands, my name is Dulcinea. The love of a crazy knight transformed her. How much more would the love of our Lord and God and Master and King, this perfect priest, transform you? You're not what the world says about you. And the world wants to tell you who you are. You know what the world says you are? Loser. You know why? Because they want you to feel like that, so that you'll buy everything they're trying to advertise. Right? Drink this coffee, drive this car, do this thing. They want you to think all these things about yourself, but you're not. You are God's beloved, God's sweet one. So much so, John even writes his writings, he says, beloved. He calls you God's beloved. Beloved, Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever doesn't love doesn't know God. Because why? God is love, right? That's the 1 John 4:7-8. We used to sing it, remember singing it? Beloved, let us love one another. No, you guys, you old people like me. Back in the next row where they're old. Yeah. This is who you are. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are his body. You're part of all this. You're priest of this covenant. And you go out and you offer your world to this. When I offer at the altar, when I offer the bread and the wine, which becomes this right here, that's why that's there, that's what I offer at the altar. What do you do as priest? You offer on what altar? Your heart. Your altar's your heart. And you offer what? Your life. Everything you are. You offer your whole world. You offer everyone who's asked you to pray for them. That's what it is to be a priest, to pray for people. You offer while I offer because you're a priest and I'm leading that. That's our faith. And it's all about you because Jesus has now sent the Holy Spirit and given you his body and blood. And what a wonderful, wonderful call. What a wonderful faith we have.